I think it's, yeah, hopefully it's recording. Okay, Chip, we're going to start with this. Do you prefer a Mark Steffenhagen or an Arnold Palmer?
I think the Steffenhagen commercial is one of the more genius things I've seen in a while. So right now, I definitely pull the Steffenhagen.
I forget what the exact combination is for a Steffenhagen.
I can't remember it either, but I the first time I saw that commercial, I mean, this thing, it's just fantastic.
Do you know what bothers me about the whole Arnold Palmer phenomena?
What's that?
It's that all these damn kids and their Arizona iced teas.
That's true.
It's obnoxious. It's obnoxious.
But I mean, what a great drink. I mean, how, you can't really top that. If you have a drink named after yourself, right? I mean, what would be better than that? Especially on the non-alcoholic side.
Well, you do know that there's an alcoholic side.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying in general, I mean, I would be hard pressed to come up with a better drink if they said, Chip, we're going to name a drink after you. What do you want it to be?
The Mark Steffenhagen.
That's right.
No, do you know that John Daly came out with his own line of beverages?
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically an Arnold Palmer with vodka.
I think John needs to stay away from those. Actually, maybe not. Maybe he played better when he was on them.
But if you're a recovering alcoholic, don't you think you'd want to think twice about endorsing an alcoholic beverage?
I'm not sure that John Daly leads the league in good decision making, so that doesn't really surprise me.
I had to actually when he shot the what was it, a sextuple bogey?
Yes.
I actually had to look up how many shots over par that was. Do you know off the top of your head how many shots? I think it's six.
Yeah, six would make sense.
I think it was a 10.
Nice work.
Have you ever shot a 10 on a par 4?
No, because I only got it up to double par and then I just put it in my pocket.
I actually, true story, I played recently, I think it was last year, with somebody who doesn't abide by those rules. And so when I was, I think, in the greenside bunker about to pick up after my maybe 10th or 8th shot, whatever double par was, looked over at me and said, "What are you doing?"
Apparently this isn't a close friend who has golfed with you plenty because he would know better.
So what do you think I did?
You picked it up and put it in your pocket.
No, I put the ball back and I hit the shot.
I would have thrown it onto the green.
I was ashamed. He was a better golfer than I was, and I didn't want to betray the integrity of the game.
We betray the integrity of the game constantly. Every time we step foot on the course.
Okay, so first question, first serious question. Tiger Woods versus the field.
You got to take the field. It's a no-brainer. No-brainer. I mean, the Masters, the field's carved down a little bit. I think it's like 80 or 90 total. And you've got the top 50 plus, you know, like Sandy Lyle and all those old farts, but no offense to Sandy Lyle. And then maybe 30 others who are invited. But at the same time, it's the top 50 in the world. And you know, Tiger's obviously, all the talk is about Tiger and there's a ton of buzz, and I think it's great for the Masters and it's great for the game, but he was the favorite league going into last year. And I know he's in better shape this year and able to practice more, but as far as from a pure gambling standpoint, you got to go with the field.
Tiger's 3-1.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I saw this morning. And then I think, Rory is next at 8-1 or something like that.
McIlroy's next at 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Phil's up there, but I think it's more obviously because he's got a good history with the course and because he's a fan favorite. And I think people like betting Phil, but I wouldn't take those odds.
He's won this year earlier in Phoenix. If Phil Mickelson is 10-1.
Yeah, but Phoenix, I mean, that's his home course.
Phoenix
doesn't count.
And then you start getting into the 25-1s with Westwood and Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose is 20-1. Keegan Bradley's 25 and Oosthuizen's 25. So there's quite a bit of space between obviously Woods, McIlroy, and Mickelson.
I mean, Woods is definitely obviously the favorite and rightfully so, but I'm just saying there's too much talent on the top of this and this tournament's too hard to ever pick one player against the field. But, you know, it's the...
What do you think about this? What do you think about the correct bet is the field until he wins a major again? And then you can start picking Tiger. Because I'd actually want to pick Tiger in this Masters. Because he's played really spectacular golf this year.
Well, he's putted spectacular. That's the thing. I mean, that's why he'll win this, if his putter remains as hot as it has been from Bay Hill.
Don't you think it's a smart bet if he had won a major recently instead of not going back all the way to 2008 in the U.S. Open? I mean, if he had won a major last year and he was officially back, I bet it's you wouldn't be so crazy for taking Tiger Woods against the field.
Well, I mean, I don't think people would call you crazy for taking it this year, but yeah, you got a good point. I mean, when was the last time he won this? 2005, I think. So it's not that, I mean, Tiger has got a tremendous record at Augusta compared to almost anyone else. However, it's not like he's been tearing up this course of late. So I guess I would agree with you. I'd like to see something more out of him, which just sounds like it's a ridiculous thing to say when you're talking about Tiger Woods and the fact that he's winning like 35% of the tournaments he's entered. So I think,
yeah.
I think he is back, but I don't know if we I have a tough time taking anyone over the field.
Somebody who knows golf better than we do was talking about how Tiger is playing like one kind of drive right now. It's like either a power fade or a power draw. And that at Augusta, he needs to hit the exact opposite with a driver. And that if you don't hit your driver well at Augusta because of its length, you're not going to win. And the way Tiger's hitting his driver right now, it's either the power fade or power draw. I don't know which one it was, but Augusta sets up the opposite way. That if he's not shaping his drive that way, and he's always struggled to control his driver, then he's going to struggle off the tee, which I thought, I don't know if that's all that is true or not, but when I heard that, I thought that was some inside baseball pretty interesting, that would make you want to take the field.
Well, yeah, I mean, and also, I still think it comes down to putting. I mean, what the iconic shot from last year from Watson's win was when he was in the trees and hooked it around, and same with Phil from a few years ago. So I do think that driving is extremely important, but I think it all comes down to putting at Augusta.
Okay, well, speaking of Bubba Watson, next question. Better chance of winning the 2013 Masters, Rory McIlroy or Bubba Watson?
Rory, no doubt. No doubt. I don't think Bubba wins another major ever again.
Really?
I think I wouldn't go as far as flash in the pan. I mean, I think he's won three or four tournaments, including the Masters, and did so in great fashion last year, but I don't know. I like the guy, but and I like the Golf Boys video and the General Lee and the hovercraft and all that.
You like the hovercraft.
Yeah, I think he's gonna and the pink driver.
He's pretty good for golf too.
Right, I think he's great for golf. And
he's really popular,
and rightfully so. And I think he'll be around for a while. But I think Rory. I think Rory's got a shot this year. And I also think that I don't know. Bubba doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me when it comes to doing this, and that sounds absurd since he won it last year, but that's just the feeling I have going into this year.
There's an argument about Bubba's homemade swing. As easy as it comes to him, it can also fall apart as easily.
It's ugly as sin.
But don't you think that if that homemade swing of his, I mean, he's, you know, professed to never taken a lesson his entire life. If the results don't go his way this year, and it's way too early to say that the results haven't gone his way, but if he starts to tinker, then maybe you're onto something. Maybe, although I don't think he's a flash in the pan. Who knows? But McIlroy hasn't played well this year. I mean,
he played well last week at Valero, and he clearly has some issues. I don't know if it's Nike. I don't know if it's his girlfriend. I don't know what the hell they are.
You know about the clubs thing? I don't know if this is true either, but someone was telling me that the clubs thing is not as big a deal as we tend to make it, because apparently, I don't know if this is true, but they can keep your old clubs and just put a Nike stamp on it.
I don't doubt it, and I think people are blowing the clubs way out of proportion, because again, Nike can tailor it to whatever Rory or Tiger, whomever they want. Same with Callaway and Phil and whatever. So I think it's something that the media and the fans grab onto because it's tangible. They can see a new club, the new swoosh on his shirt instead of the Oakley, and so swoosh, not swish. So it's people can speculate at that, but I agree with you. I don't think the clubs are it, although it's nice. It's fun to speculate about it.
But, you know, you do have to confess that whether or not it's the clubs or, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to the pressure of being the number one player in the world. I think there's a mindset that there are certain few really special guys, not even golfers, but people that can handle all the pressure and scrutiny that goes along with being the top ranked player in the world. And clearly Tiger can handle that. But I think, you know, Rory McIlroy might be too nice, too sweet of a person to really handle the kind of scrutiny that I think you face at the top. He, from all accounts, he's a pretty congenial, down-to-earth person for being a multimillionaire, incredibly talented golfer.
With a private jet and everything else.
Yeah, but don't you think some of the pressure and notoriety that goes along with being, you know, the top-ranked golfer in the world got to him, and he just, like, look at what happened at, was it Doral or was it Honda down in Florida? Look what happened. I mean, he had a total meltdown, and that was a mental breakdown. I mean, we've all had him. I mean, he just had him in front of video cameras, and I believe that was as much about being the top golfer in the world and the pressure that goes along with it than it was the clubs.
Well, I think there's something to that. I mean, I also think he saw, you know, when he completely choked 2 years ago in Augusta with the lead and then came back and wiped the field here in D.C. at the U.S. Open. So, you know, there might be some truth behind the fact that he plays better when he's not the number one and the lights aren't all on him, which clearly there will be a lot of spotlights on him at Augusta this week, but maybe the fact that Tiger's going to be the story will allow him to relax a little bit. I also read that his girlfriend's going to be in Augusta this week with him, so I don't know if that's a positive or negative, but, you know, something to keep in mind when you're placing your bets.
And Tiger will see your Caroline Wozniacki and raise you a Lindsey Vonn.
Right, exactly. Now they're both dating world-class athletes.
World-class blondes.
Yeah, that too.
So you do buy the whole pressure of number one?
I think so, for some. I mean, clearly Tiger feeds off of it, but he's a different human being than most.
Yeah, he's
Luke Donald didn't flourish under it.
No, but I would clearly argue that at this point there are two gravitational forces on tour. There's Tiger and there's Rory. And you'd like Phil to kind of be there in the Masters, but it doesn't seem like he's there consistently, you know, throughout the season, the golf season. So it's Tiger and Rory, and which kind of goes to my next question, which is, all right, what's your bet for the final pairing on Masters Sunday?
Well, I'll clearly put Tiger in there. And then I think it's going to be someone, it's going to be a foreigner. It's not going to be another American. I think you've got too many choices now. Half of them live in America.
They all actually, most of them at least.
Most of them do.
Live in tax-friendly Florida.
Right, exactly. Woosthuizen, Rose, Schwartzel, Rory, possibly Adam Scott, although if he has the lead, he'll choke and throw up over himself. Maybe McDowell. I think you've got a fistful of non-Americans. And out of that group, I think you're going to see one. My pick right now is either Schwartzel or Woosthuizen, although I haven't decided on that for sure. But I think that's who Tiger will be playing with. And if that's the case, I don't see him intimidating either of those guys that much.
You're going with a South African.
Yes. Now, big fan of South Africans.
Now, Schwartzel's won before, and Oosthuizen almost won last year, so they have the pedigree.
Yeah, and I also think that for some reason, you know, there was this earlier, all this news about how Americans were winning all the tournaments this year, and I think so. I don't know. I just think it's right for one of them to step up. And maybe, you know, maybe a Kuchar or a Duffner has a shot. I would love to see Duffner. I'm a huge fan of him. But right now, I think it's going to be one of those guys.
You forgot to mention the foreigner who is my pick to be in the final pairing on Sunday at Augusta.
Which one's that?
Ian Poulter.
You think so?
I hope so, because I
totally messed the Tiger's head. I think
if there's one, if there's one guy who has the kind of stones and bravado to get it at Tiger, it's McDowell to an extent. McDowell's got a good little swagger about him and a confidence, and he's kind of done it with Tiger before, not this year, but a couple years ago. But there's something about Poulter, that if Poulter is in a pressure-packed situation like a match play, obviously the Ryder Cup, he's got a track record. And I think just for pure entertainment, I would love to see Poulter and Woods in the final group on Sunday. I think that, and maybe McIlroy a couple groups ahead, posting a low score, to me, that would be real Sunday afternoon drama in Augusta.
I don't disagree with that. I just think Poulter might have a tough time getting there. I think if someone could get him in the final, if he could have someone place him in the final group, he might have a shot. But I just don't know if he can put four rounds together, or I guess three rounds together to get himself in the final group.
So that's my pick for the final group would be Tiger and Poulter, and you're going to go with Tiger and either Schwartzel or Oosthuizen.
I'll take Oosthuizen. I'll put my money on one horse. So Oosthuizen for me.
I'm just looking at some of the odds here, and Bubba Watson's 35-1.
I mean,
he's not even one of the favorites. Well, I guess that's close to favorite, but you're looking at the list here. I'm looking at the list, and there are more than a handful of golfers in front of him, including Brant Snedeker at 30-1, and the list goes on and on. I'll tell you a few sleepers, and I'm going to classify sleepers as anything 50-1 and above.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why Graham McDowell is 50, I don't know.
He's too streaky.
Okay, so here are my sleepers for the Masters. Why not Jason Day?
He just hasn't, I mean, everyone thought he was going to emerge last year, and he kind of fell by the wayside, and so I haven't followed him closely. That probably means because he hasn't been in one of the TV pairings on a Sunday, so I don't know.
He played pretty well at the match play this year.
He did do well there. I'll give you that.
Okay. Here's another one for you. Real big long shot. Nicholas Kolsarts.
It's his first time playing, isn't it?
100-1.
I think this is his first Masters, which basically rules him out. Because hardly anyone, Fuzzy Zeller, I think, was the last one to win his first Masters. And that was like the late 70s. So I like Kolsarts. I mean, clearly it's fun to watch. He crushes the ball, but it's his first Masters, I believe. Hopefully I'm right on that. And so that's why I would rule him out.
100-1.
Not bad odds though. I mean, those are
winning odds. Okay. Yeah. So one of the last things is, we're in a Masters pool.
Right.
And, the rules are pretty straightforward, but you have $36 to spend on seven golfers. And the real catch is that two golfers together can't be worth more than $15.
Correct.
So that makes it difficult because Tiger is $10.
Right. And then you'd have to fill out the rest of your roster with some fives, fours, you know.
So I did that. And I'm going to tell you how I spent my $36. And then if you thought about how you're going to spend your $36, you can tell us.
Okay. Go ahead.
So
I make about 18 or 19 of these rosters before I finally decide at midnight on Wednesday. But I'll give you my rough cut.
I do that. I have two going right now. I'll give you the Tiger scenario.
Okay.
You ready for my Tiger scenario?
Yes.
You have $36 and you can't spend more than 15 on two.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I have the Tiger scenario, Tiger at 10.
Yep.
And then I have to go all the way down to the fives. So of the fives, there are two fives that interest me. You ready?
Yep.
Bo Van Pelt and Ryan Moore.
Moore's been playing well. I think those aren't bad.
So I'm at 20.
Right.
Then you go down to the fours. There are three fours that interest me. Freddie Couples, Russell Henley, and Brandon Grace.
Couples, Henley, Grace. Well, Couples is a perennial. I mean, I've been in this pool for now, I think, like 6 years, 7 years. Couples is always on my team because you want someone who's going to make – you need to have the five or six, whatever it is, make the weekend, the five I think it is, because otherwise you're taking the worst score for that player that doesn't make the cut. So while you want to pick the – you need to pick the winner or the runner-up to have a shot at winning this thing, if you don't have guys making the cut, you're not going to even be close to being in the running. So I always pick Couples because Freddie Boom Boom's a lock for making the weekend.
So then that leaves me $4 left, and none of the threes really interest me, although I'm kind of intrigued with, like, maybe Tim Clark or Molinari.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't thought all the way through the scenario. I very well could go with a three, Francesco Molinari. And then off the one list, for good luck, I'll go with Tom Watson.
I wouldn't scoff at a Tom Watson.
So that would be one, that's one path to 36. Have you thought through it as much as I have?
I've got, what I did is I went through and kind of like marked some players that I wanted, in each grouping. And so I think in all likelihood, I'm going to go with the 8-7 combination. Which will probably be Oosthuizen, and then pair him with either Kuchar or Poulter at a 7. And my gut, appropriately so, wants me to pick Duffner for a 6. But I also like the idea of Peter Hansen. He helped me last year and is usually pretty solid. Let me get down to the 5s. KJ Choi. Always makes the, well, I shouldn't say always. Usually makes the weekend. But I'm also kind of leaning towards Ernie Els. And then the last one in the fives I like is Cabrera.
Those are all previous major winners.
Right, exactly.
The problem with the Tiger strategy in this pool is that most people are going to pick Tiger. And
see,
then,
I don't know if they will, because...
But then you have to be right with your next guys, and the next right. guys are not great.
No, they're not. I mean, it'd be great if you can pick a one, but the ones, I mean, are pretty played out down here. I don't think I could go with a single one. Although two or three of them make the cut.
So it'll be interesting. Perhaps we should, we'll think about it. We'll let it marinate for a few.
Yeah, no kidding.
Few days. But
do you think Tiger's the, is it, you know, gun to your head, is that the pick?
I mean, I think it's what we all want to see. I mean, even if you're not a Tiger fan, you enjoy the sport more, and the ratings prove it when he's in the hunt. And I think we're all pulling for, I mean, I know I'm pulling for Tiger. I'm so torn on him because he's been portrayed as such kind of a petulant guy in the past, and all of his troubles in 2008, 2009, only added to kind of the fact that he's just this hollow man. You know, he's this consummate competitor who wins, and we've never seen anyone like him, but off the course, he's just had so many faults. And so I find myself always really torn when he's winning because I want him to win. And I usually, the other guys I root for, I try to root for kind of people that I like. Like one of my other favorite golfers is Steve Stricker. I just like Steve Stricker because I like the guy.
You like the Wisconsin connection?
I do. I do. But I also, Tiger, there's so much that really I shouldn't like, but yet I always find myself rooting for him. And I don't know if that's because he's the best and he might be the best of all time. And it's kind of like, you know, when we tell our kids about, you know, growing up watching Michael Jordan, it's like, you know, yeah, LeBron James is good, but before you just go ahead and anoint him the best ever, I grew up watching a guy named Michael Jordan. And that can be kind of the same thing with Tiger Woods. It's like, we're watching the greatest. And in order for him to be the greatest of all time, he needs to get going and win some more majors. And so I kind of want him to do that. And I like rooting for him. And I'm torn about it, though, because typically he's not the type of, and who knows, he might be a fine person. But, you know, from what's been reported, it's always kind of. So, yeah, I root for Tiger.
I've never, I love watching Tiger. I just don't root for him. Like, I want him to be there on Sunday because the stuff he can pull off. But I'll be hard-pressed to be pulling for him over someone. I don't know who you'd have to be against for me to pull for Tiger. That said, I appreciate all that he does and, you know, how awesome he is.
I'm Tiger over Phil. I mean, when they were having their battles.
Oh, no way.
I know. And I think, unfortunately, and we don't know enough about this to say with any certainty what kind of people they are off the course other than, you know, what people talk about. But I don't know how genuine any of these guys are? For Tiger to be.
Absolutely not.
I mean, Tiger gives, honestly, one of the most disingenuous kind of snarky post-round interviews ever. He's just terrible at that when he doesn't play well. And so you watch those interviews, and then you watch a guy like Mickelson or Westwood, and they're just kind of magnanimous, and they're just generous with their time. And then you listen to Tiger, and it's like, just kind of get over yourself, pal. You know, fulfill your obligation and talk to the media. But yet I still root for him, and so it might just be how good he is.
I think that's it. I mean, but do you honestly want him to win? You literally want him to win.
I do. I want him to win. I think it would be, I think I've enjoyed watching him so much during his time. I mean, I don't think I'd be as interested in golf if it weren't for Tiger. I don't think any of us would be. And I think really the only thing that could change my mind about Tiger Woods is if it is reported or they do finally reveal that he's been taking PEDs for the last decade. I think that might change.
I think you're pretty safe with Phil that Phil hasn't, unless the stuff for his rheumatoid arthritis turns out to be illegal. But
there are extra hormones in his steak, please.
Exactly.
So that's my Tiger. Yes, I'm pulling for him on Sunday. I want him to be back, quote unquote. I want him to challenge Jack. I want this to be a big year. I want
Nicholas is a jackass too, though. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't really pull for the Golden Bear either.
Well, that's the thing, is you look up enough stuff on any of these people and they're always going to be secrets. But the Tiger thing is still one of those. I mean, don't you think the majority of people sitting at home are rooting for him?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, all the casual golf fans definitely are. Well, I think they are. But, you know, if you get a little, you know, the folks who might watch a little bit more like you or I do watching every weekend, I don't think the diehards necessarily do.
I don't think women do.
At least.
No,
I don't want that of any self-respect.
No, I'm serious. I wonder what his what are they called? His Q ratings or whatever his index, his popularity index.
But how many women are sitting down on Saturday and Sunday and watching golf?
Well, if they love their husbands, they're doing something else in the house, right?
Right. Exactly.
Sorry. Just kidding. Well, I wonder who the female choice would be then.
I don't think there would be one. I think they could just name Tiger and maybe Phil, and that'd be it.
We should...
Now that we're going to the sexist part of the podcast.
Yeah, this is the sexist part of the podcast. This is where I call my wife in and ask her what she thinks. She would... I know who she'd tell me. She'd tell me Adam Scott. Because she thinks he's sexy.
What about Stricker? I mean, what about the Wisconsin there?
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's like, you know, as old as my dad. He acts as old as my dad. I think he's much younger than my dad, but he acts as old as my dad. Good values there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anything more to say about the Masters? Anything we should look for? Any things that you're excited to watch?
I'm just kind of hoping that it's a bunched field at the end. I don't want, you know, I'm afraid if Tiger's as hot as everyone says he is, I don't want him to run away with it on Saturday. I hope that Sunday is well contested, and I'd like to see some names like a Phil, maybe a Duffner. Apparently all the guys I like to watch golf have similar body shapes to me. I don't know what the deal with that is. But there's some of those guys. Would love to see like a Freddie Couples make a run like he always does. I love watching him swing. So those are the things I'm hoping for.
So give us a sense of how productive you will be on Thursday and Friday.
Well, Thursday I'm up at the doctor's, so I'll be fine on my phone all day. Friday, see, we have TVs in my office, but we don't get the golf channel. So I think...
No, you don't need the golf channel. It is an ESPN event.
Is it ESPN?
It's ESPN.
Minimal production. Well, Saturday, my son's going to have a play date, so that's going to be extremely beneficial for me. And then Sunday, I reminded my wife four times today that Masters is this weekend, so I think she's getting the drill.
Pretty sure she's going to tell you in case you forget.
Right, exactly. So hopefully there won't be many chores Sunday afternoon. Put my time in the morning with church and whatever else needs to be done, and then retire somewhere to watch all afternoon.
Say an extra Hail Mary for me, huh?
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
Chip, you the man.
All right, buddy. Talk